Get ready to get your nerd on.
Kick the week off right with games, gadgets, and general geekery from the ladies of the Electric Sisterhood on the Eshcast.
On Tuesday, the J-pop and alternative hotspot hits your eardrums on No Borders, No Race.
Geek Aggro is coming at you on Wednesdays to fill what's left of your cerebral cortex with the hottest beats to get you on your feet.
Then you have me, Phil the Issues Guy, with the live issues program's post-episode recaps on live right after your favorite shows and taking all of your questions.
It's going down each week, only in the land of Ash. Nerdcore at its finest.
Do you like video games?
Comic books?
Anime?
And pop culture?
Well, then I think we just might be the right podcast for you. Hi, my name is Quicksilver.
I'm Pappy.
I'm King Baby Duck.
And it's your boy J-Boss.
And we are the Sensational Squad from Boston, Massachusetts. Join us twice a month to talk about all the greatest things about video games.
Comic books.
Anime calamity.
And movies and TV shows.
You never know what you might find. We might actually talk about a cheeseburger every now and again. But please, make sure to hit that like button right here on iTunes, or if you're on Google Play or Stitcher, please make sure to follow us. The Sensational Squad debuts early February 2016. We hope you will hit that like button and follow us on this crazy adventure we call podcasting. Sensational Squad, assemble!
Let's get swifty.
And now, the Boston Bastard Brigade, Electric Sisterhood, and Omnistry Inc. proudly present No Borders, No Race, the world's J-pop and alternative hotspot.
Konnichiwa, my bastards and wenches, and welcome to another episode of No Borders, No Race. I am your King Baby Duck, Evan Borgo. Before we get things rolling, as you may have guessed from some of the recent posts from the Electric Sisterhood, we're doing a lot to help evolve into the best network of sites imaginable. We've got our new pals Nerd Crave, whose founder Louis Hendricks was a lot of fun when we had him guest on our show last week, and that was his first time doing a podcast, by the way. So if he and his pals start one of their own, then you can expect quite a lot of great things coming out of their woodwork. Then, we've got some new gaming videos. The ladies of Esh, Ninja Sister, and Pandalicious have just started up their Fresh Plays series. And I've been doing a little dabbling with live streaming myself with episodes of 3, 2, 1, Let's Jam. Of course, our buddy HamsterMan2049 has got his Wednesday night stream series on Smashed Rook, which has been going on for quite a while now. So if you're looking to see what goes on behind the curtain with our game reviews and such, these programs will most certainly give you a good idea of our thinking process. That's about all I can reveal right now, but once I can talk more about some of these upcoming things happening in the land of Esh, I can guarantee you that it's gonna shake the foundation of the Boston pop culture journalism realm. With all that being said, let's get the show rolling. Remember, as always, if you like what you hear and want to support these artists, you can grab just about all these records on cdjapan.co.jp, amazon.com, iTunes, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, and your local record store. We're starting the show with a brand new track from Asian Kung Fu Generation. This is a single that was just released earlier this month. It's called Right Now.
アスファルト斜めに勝って街を行けば
fuck you, ska Paradise Orchestra, to get the mood going right. That was Horizon from their 2014 album, Ska Me Forever. This March, the band will be releasing their live 2015 Budokan show, which was their last tour in support of this specific release. As the new year has gotten underway, it's become high time for some new upgrades in the studio. Thanks to our friends over at The Sensational Squad, which I hope you enjoyed that little promo we did before this episode, I have myself a new toy I can showcase. The Spark from Blue Microphones. It is a beautiful work of electronic craftsmanship, the kind of quality you'd see in one of the highest regarded recording studios. I personally got a nice mic stand where I've placed it, and for some of the test runs I've done, I've noticed a huge difference in the cleanliness and clarity of the sound. And I hope you're noticing it already right now as I'm using it at this very moment. Now, I do love my HyperX Cloud 2, and I think I still may use that from time to time, especially for certain Skype interviews, but the thing that drives me off the wall when recording with any headset is that there is no filter when it comes to the buzz and the buzz and any loud emphasizing sort of syllable, and I can imagine that it must have sounded annoying to some of you listeners whenever I did that, but thanks to this classy little filter that comes with the Spark, there's no worrying again about certain syllables being emphasized more than they should be. Now, this is a studio mic, so there is no USB port for it, but fortunately, all you need to do is buy the Blue Icicle and a male-to-female microphone cable, preferably a 10-foot one, and you'll be good to go. The Spark is a great microphone to have, and I can't recommend it enough. Now, the price tag may be a bit steep, as it is a $200 microphone, with the Blue Icicle going for about $60. But if you want the best, you need to pay just a little bit extra. Although, I do have to say this. The price tag is $200, so why do I think that half of the cost is just to cover the fucking box? I mean, listen. This is handcrafted wood, and I think it's burgundy of all things. Actually, I think this might be teak. Yeah, I know my wood terms. Come on. There are things you don't know about me. But Jesus Christ, it's awesome, but wow, how much do you think this part actually costs? Alright, I'm just joshing around, but yeah, grab a Blue Spark and Icicle if you can. They're seriously really good, and I can't recommend it enough for musicians, podcast hosts. I don't know if it works with online game streaming if you were to hook it up to, like, a PS4 Xbox One. Probably not. Blue Microphones, work on that for a port. I think this would be an awesome mic to have while you're doing, like, a live stream of sorts. A little suggestion for you guys. All right, let's get back to some music. Coming up next, we got the legend, simply known as Iggy Pop, who announced that he and Queens of the Stone Age's Joshua Homme have recorded an album together. It'll be called Post-Pop Depression, and it'll be out this March, and they're taking the album on tour, and they'll be hitting Boston on April 11th. I hope you got tickets to it. I sure did. I am so excited to be seeing Iggy Pop, because he's just like, seriously, he's the last man standing. Bowie's gone. He's the only guy left. It's crazy to think that. Out of all the musicians out there, Iggy Pop is the last one standing. But I'm happy that he's the last one standing, because he is awesome, he's a legend, and it is just so cool to be able to finally see him live. And right now, we're going to hear a cut from his classic album, Lust for Life. One of the best albums to come out in the 70s. This song is called Success.
Here comes success.
brand new track from Scandal. That was Chison Hono. Be sure to grab their next album, Yellow, when it releases to the world this coming March. This past weekend, I was given access to the closed beta for Deep Silver's upcoming release of Homefront, The Revolution. Many years ago, Bluonic and I were huge fans of the first game, probably one of the more underrated first-person shooters out there. It played with the what-if concept of North Korea taking over the US and a bunch of underground soldiers out there trying to take back their land. Homefront, The Revolution continues on with the story, only now we're being dropped into Philadelphia, where freedom was born. So the beta gave me the chance to jump into two missions, both of which were four-player online co-op in resistance mode. This is where you need to work together to either protect your area or try to infiltrate theirs and return safely. And when one North Korean soldier sees you, they all start to swarm in. I'll admit that it was very overwhelming when they attacked. It was like almost 10 enemy soldiers to one allied soldier. And let's not get into the armed tanks that are constantly trying to shoot you. It's possible to succeed in these missions, but it's very challenging. And yet, these missions were listed as easy. So, as this is a closed beta, there were some flaws. For one, there was way too much of an oversensitive aim. Like, I found myself spinning around like crazy as I was trying to kill the enemy soldiers. I swear, I must have looked like Michael Jackson in there, only I'm no smooth criminal, that's for sure. Before I jumped into a battle, I was in spectator mode, and I noticed how awkwardly the characters were moving. Their arms were, like, flailing around all derpy and such. It was actually kind of funny. And perhaps the final complaint was, to be frank, the difficulty. These were supposed to be the easy missions, and yet everyone on my team kept dying over and over and over again. I'll just count on how many times I had to be revived by a better playing teammate. But outside of these issues, I was actually having fun with the beta. I'm glad the Homefront series is back, as I thought it would never return when THQ went under, but Deep Silver wound up swiping the license and saving it from obscurity. A more public beta will begin, I think, on February 11th, so keep your eyes peeled for when that happens. And as for the full game, you can expect Homefront The Revolution to be out later this May. Can't wait for the full version to come out. It's going to be really good. I have a good feeling about this. A very, very good feeling about this. All right, let us return to this week's playlist. From last year's Kyome album, here are Chapmonchi with a little ditty called Rakuen Tengoku.
Thank you.
Hey, what's happening? This is Boston's favorite gamer, Quicksilver, and you are listening to No Borders, No Race with the one and only King Baby Duck right here on the Electric Sisterhood Network. Eat a burrito.
From his 2010 album, Imperfect Harmonies, that was Serge Tankian with Borders Are. Rumors are coming through that he and the rest of his System of a Down bandmates are in the midst of working on a brand new album. Here's hoping it comes out before the end of election season, am I right? Also, thanks, Quicksilver, for that nice little promo there. A couple weeks ago, I had the privilege of checking out the newest documentary from Academy Award-winning filmmaker Michael Moore, Where to Invade Next. The film has our documentarian setting out to various countries across the ocean, where he seeks to find ideas and guidelines that would certainly help make the United States a far better place to live in. For instance, in Italy, all workers, great and small, get a minimum of 8 weeks paid vacation and an additional 5 months for women who have become new mothers. In Portugal, they have decriminalized all drugs and have instead cracked down on drug dealers whilst users are given the proper care they need instead of being thrown in jail. Slovenia has free college, Finland gives out no homework and has less hours in the school day, despite it being one of the highest-ranked countries in the realm of education, and France has an amazing four-course lunch hour for kids, even in the poorest of cities. Now that last one got me. Like, the lunches these kids were, they were like the same quality as a four-star or five-star restaurant here. When I was in school, kids used to be served some of the most awful things in the cafeteria. I myself brought my own lunch, but every Friday was pizza day and everyone had to stand in line for a slice. In some cases, those who got in line too late, which was a good chunk of kids, never got a chance to eat. And because food was never allowed in the classes, these kids would basically starve. And again, terrible quality of food. In fact, I remember this one time I found a piece of glass in my pizza. I told the lunch lady and she just gave me a new slice. If I had brought this to the attention of the principal at the time, I could have had a lawsuit on my hand. Shit, now that I think of it, I could have pocketed some, like, hardcore cash for that. Son of a bitch, I was a fucking idiot back then. But anyways, there's another part of the film where young kids are learning about sex education, and they teach them everything except abstinence, because they find that teaching abstinence never works. They then cut to a great clip of a discussion from former governor and first-class idiot Rick Perry as he's being asked about abstinence. In fact, here's a clip right here, and it's from 2011, and it comes right from the Texas Tribune.
Why does Texas continue with abstinence education programs when they don't seem to be working? In fact, I think we have the third highest teen pregnancy rate in the country among all the states.
Abstinence works.
But we are the third highest teen pregnancy. We have the third highest teen pregnancy rate among all states in the country. The questioner's point is, it doesn't seem to be working. Abstinence well, education.
It works. Maybe it's the way it's being taught or the way that it's being applied out there. But the fact of the matter is, it is the best form of to teach our children.
Can you give me a statistic suggesting it works?
I'm just going to tell you from my own personal life, abstinence works.
Rick, there's a difference between being abstinent and having women not wanting to fuck your dumb ugly ass, all right? Now, those who do practice abstinence properly, more power to you. We'll never attack you for that. Just as long as you know that abstinence-only sex ed never works. But there's a lot in this film that covers some of the best things these countries offer that we in America don't even have. I know some people don't like Michael Moore because he can be one-sided in regards to politics, but honestly, this one kind of branches to everyone. You don't have to be a Democrat or Republican or Libertarian or Flying Spaghetti Monster to know that a good chunk of the world has it far better than us. Now, one big thing that Michael Moore makes note of in this film is that not every country is perfect. His words, I believe he went, "I'm here to pick flowers, not weeds." So take note of those words. If anyone sees this film and you get that idea to just drop everything and decide to move to France or Germany or Norway or one of these other countries that they showcase, please do your research on what these countries are like as a whole. That way you won't be slapped in the face with a dumb law that'll make you raise an eyebrow. Where to Invade Next opens in theaters on February 25th. It's very eye-opening, humorous, and thought-provoking. Unless you say this may be Michael Moore's best documentary yet, or at the very least, his finest since Bowling for Columbine. Right now, we're going to spin a song from one of our honorable mention picks of last year. From Dazoo, this is Air Ahoy with Genesis.
震えるで我無力で
There's a metal classic for you from 1985's Thunder in the East album. That was Loudness with Crazy Nights. This album was the first Japanese metal release to crack the Billboard 200, remaining on the list for 23 weeks and peaking at number 73. These past few weeks, I've been attempting to marathon through a certain anime series that caught my attention thanks to Peter Payne from J-List. The show is called Yuri Yuri, and it recently just wrapped up its third season. Now, Yuri Yuri follows the day in the life cycle of the members of the amusement club made up of Akale, Kyoko, Yui, and Chinatsu, and it also follows the student council members Ayano, Chitose, Sakuroko, and Himawari. Both clubs usually hang out with one another as they're all pals. Well, most of them, that is. There can be a rift here and there because of the usual duties that comes with being in the student council, and with the amusement club doing, well, nothing really. It's just an excuse for the four friends to hang out more. And there are sorta character crushes between some of the girls, so there is a bit of that Yuri mentality to the show, although I feel like it's more in jest rather than actual true love. Actually, now that I think about it, I like to think that it is more in the veins of admiration than love, although Chitose has a very vivid imagination. Let's just say that she should buy a few shares of Kleenex, if you catch my meaning. The anime is very goofy and a little bit off the wall at times, but what I like about Yuri Yuri is that it paints these girls with a lot of heart and character. One of the big reasons why I started to watch this series was because of its director Masahiko Ota and scriptwriter Takahashi Aoshima. These are the two guys who are responsible for the anime adaptations of The Troubled Life of Miss Kotora, Love Lab, and last year's Himoto Amaro-chan. Their shows are always brilliantly fun and wind up being some of the best anime of that year. Now, for season 3, the show has a different director-writer team, as well as a new studio going from Dogakoba to TYO Animations. Not sure what was behind these changes, but they're actually barely noticeable, which is a good thing, seeing as the first two seasons were both nicely animated and written quite well. You can catch Yuri Yuri on Crunchyroll, and if you think it's worthy enough to be part of your anime collection, you can grab the first two seasons on Blu-ray and DVD thanks to our buddies over at NIS America. It is a very enjoyable series, the kind that's good to watch when you're just about ready for bed and need to relax. And now, let us return to this week's music. Up next, we've got Waves, who are releasing a split single shortly with their pals Best Coast, who they're also touring with. Here's a bonus track from their Afraid of Heights record, which we gave the number 8 spot back in 2013 on our top albums list. This song is called Hippies Is Punks.
Misery's a fleeting feeling.
Masuccio with Under My Mask from her 2006 record Strip Me. Definitely one of the best rock albums that's ever come out of Japan in the last 10 years. One of the best, period, actually. If you don't own this one, you can't consider yourself a fan of the Japanese rock scene. That's some straight-up truth for you all. Well, that about wraps up this week's episode of No Borders, No Race. Remember, for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bastard Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, if you're in a band and want to be featured on the show, or if you have any questions for our friend Sawa Sensei, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbastardbrigade.com. You can find me on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com, on Twitter at king_baby_duck, and on Anime Amino at kingbabyduckesh. Like us on facebook.com/bostonbastardbrigade and facebook.com/landofesh. And speaking of the Land of Esh, don't forget about all the other sites under there, including the Electric Sisterhood, Smashed Rook, Phil's Recap and Review, The Structure Network, and Nerdcrave. Today, we're going to end the show with something from Galileo Galilei, who just released a new album called Sea and the Darkness. Honestly, this is an amazing album that I hope more people check out. This is actually probably one of the first contenders for best album of 2016. I'm saying it right here. I don't know if it's going to be the best album, but it has potential to be the best album of 2016. From Sea in the Darkness, here are Galileo Galilei with a song simply known as Ghost. Until next time, this is King Baby Duck reminding you that you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard, but it sure helps.
Hey guys, this is Evan Borgo from the Electric Sisterhood and host of the No Borders, No Race podcast. What you hear each week on our show is but a mere taste of what you can expect from these talented artists from Japan, America, Europe, and the rest of the world. So if you enjoyed something from this week's selections, go to cdjapan.co.jp, amazon.com, iTunes, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, or your local record store to help give these artists your support. We always give our readers and listeners the links to the albums from the respective songs we've spun. So if something resonated with you, give that album name a click and get that record in your possession. Who knows? That one album purchase may help to bring your favorite J-pop artist one step closer to your town. So until next time, keep your volume dimed out and remember to spread the Japanese music revolution wherever your roads take you.